are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about from Huntsville over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa over to Gadsden. Y'all, I'm talking about big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. All right, Right Side Radio has got folks that do a lot of work, that keep a lot of things going right. And two of those come in every week on this. That was kind of cool. You admit it. But anyway, there's two folks who come in every week and do a segment with us, and they both are just super important to this this Right Side family. And so we just do a segment we like to call Butters and Lee. All right here in the studio, Butterman. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a great day.
You got the limited edition hat on.
I do.
There's only two of those in the world.
I know.
You and I have them.
Mine is available at auction.
Okay. All right. And then calling in from the upper reaches of our listening area near Tennessee line, that would be Lee from Huntsville. Hey, Lee, how you doing?
I'm good, but I don't have a hat.
Well,
I'm just putting that out there.
We can work that. But you do have the T-shirt.
I do.
So. You do. All right, listen, here's the way this works for our listening audience and all of y'all who are streaming with us right now, because there's a ton of you. Like, we're looking at 26,000 people streaming with us as we speak. But we ask questions. They have answers. We debate the outcome. And then we flip the script, and they just ask me questions, and I wait and see where it goes. So here's my first question for you guys, and I'll lay the foundation for it. So so people are often rather surprised to find out that in Alabama, we actually have a charter school, which is a variant of a public school, in Birmingham, and it's called the Magic City Acceptance Academy. Nifty name, sounds like unicorns and all. The Magic City Acceptance Academy, and believe it or not, it's actually a school whose primary focus is to provide a so-called safe environment for LGBTQ students and their so-called allies. All right. I mean, it's literally a school for gay kids is what it boils down to, which you look at it and go, how'd they do that? But they did. That being said, our state also passed laws against allowing DEI to be promoted in public institutions to exclude schools. So the Magic City Acceptance Academy apparently refuses to take down their DEI policies off their website. And I feel like I'm filibustering here, but the bottom line is, what should the legislature do about entities like Magic City and others who are trying to just pretend that they didn't pass a new law that said take down DEI? What should they do about it? Lee, I'm going to let you start. What do you got?
Well, they should put teeth in their laws, which
yes,
they don't. And that's always my problem with the laws coming out of the state of Alabama. They sound good, but if you don't have any actual consequences, why should anyone care what you pass?
Yeah.
It just, they can just ignore you, and there's no repercussions. So this is a form of discrimination, and strange, to be honest with you. And it's not I think if you got right down to it and dug into what this school is teaching, I think some of it people would find extremely questionable. So I think they need to be completely defunded by the state. And I have a feeling if you let the new administration know, hey, they're refusing to take down DEI and all this, you could be looking at some loss of federal funds.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree, but they're definitely. By the way, being a charter school does not mean they're not public. They're taking tax dollars. They absolutely are.
Oh yeah.
And they had to go through like 2 or 3 years of applications to get their charter, and how they got it, I still don't understand. Butters, your thoughts on this, man? What should the legislature do about the folks that just blow off the law?
Okay. So I think there's a slippery slope of swinging the pendulum the other way here. And I think, it's the question needs to be, what's the desired end result
of
what we're going to do with these laws and what we're doing with DEI, yeah, right? So we want school choice. And if schools want to build an atmosphere that we don't necessarily, or others don't necessarily agree with, however that system works, that needs to be set up in place. And if folks want to go there, I think natural selection will take care of itself, in time. The DEI side of it, yeah, you know, I've thought a lot about this, you know, since that's kind of made the headlines. DEI for this group of people's probably more like a religion than it is some sort of
it's like
practice.
A cult.
So that's what they want to have in their schools. So I definitely don't agree with it. And obviously, if they're meeting whatever academic standard they've got to meet for the state, you know, it's a messy tangle right now because of the DEI laws and all those, you know, those type of things. You know, the school choice thing is not fully in effect, and yet it's using tax dollars. But I would just say, we got to think about what's the desired end state of what we want this to look like.
So I think, okay, both of y'all, good answers. I think with regards to, like, for instance, Magic City by itself, the Acceptance Academy, the reality is there's a real gray area, especially in the light of the Supreme Court decisions on allowing demographics to guide the populace of a school, any school. It's affirmative action for gay kids is what it boils down to in terms of who's in this school. It's designed just for that. And they'll try to tell you it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Rainbow flags. They have drag queen story hour. They do drag queen fundraisers for student body issues. It's absolutely 100% that. And it's really on the margins of what is allowed even under constitutional law, much less the question of whether it just should. The second thing, though, about the DEI, they're not even playing. Their website says diversity, equity, inclusion, and that's what we call it, and that's what it's going to be. And so I think Lee has got it nailed. The legislature has got to quit passing laws that have no teeth in it. Otherwise, all you did was pass a good idea, period.
That's very true. Very true for sure.
All right. Wow. That's a good round. All right. Let me do the next question then. Round two, or round one, question two, Butters and Lee. I'll go to you first this time, Butters. So the confirmation hearings this week, I mean, it's been like an e-ticket at Disneyland. It's been a roller coaster, man. Like with your hair swept back while you're watching some of the questioning going on. Fast, furious. Everybody's hair's on fire. Makes you want to look back and see more anyway, though. The rubbernecking is like, what did she say? What did he say? Where'd that go? Let me ask you this. Do you anticipate any of these nominees not being confirmed? And what are your thoughts on where things are so far?
It sure seems like they're all going to make it through, and that they're working the numbers. It sounds like a lot of grandstanding. One of the biggest things that stuck out to me is just how politicized and how
it's absolutely
we got to take our sides, and there's no genuine thought. I mean, Bernie Sanders is just such a grand example in his discussions with RFK. Like, Bernie, I thought you were, what? You're on the same side, and here he is just absolutely given what for. But I think all these nominees have done a phenomenal job. My hope is that there's a lot of people going, look, they've got all their, they are suitcased on how they're doing this process, and they've got a plan, they're executing. It's a joy to watch professionals go do some good stuff and give me some confidence that our government's in good hands.
Yeah. I tell you, I won't poison the well. I'll go straight to Lee. Lee, your thoughts, how has the confirmation process been for you so far, and what do you think about them all getting confirmed?
Well, it's been really interesting to watch, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it has.
And the level of hypocrisy is just, you can cut it with a knife, you know, where, and when RFK called out Bernie Sanders about being the top recipient of pharmaceutical money,
yes.
I thought he was going to come up out of his chair.
It was righteous.
Oh, and it's so true. And you know who the number two is?
Pocahontas. Yeah, I'd say Pocahontas. That's exactly right.
So I just think it's funny that they are just so irate, but it's kind of faux indignation, all of it. And he was demanding that, I think Bernie was demanding he, agree to publicly funded health care and all this. I'm like, what do you think he can do? Wave a magic wand? He's the Secretary of Health and Human Services. He's not. That would be your job in Congress.
Yeah. Even said that at one point. He even said, I believe that's Congress's
right.
job. And then Bernie kind of came out
like
to see
going
on that
after
too.
Him at it, I'm like, what's the point? But I think I could definitely see it going down to the wire and having to be decided by the vice president on any or all of them. I don't know that they would have put them forward through this process had they not had the assurances that they would pass.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Gaetz pulled out early because they could see that
right.
it wasn't going to work. In this case, I don't know. I still wonder, did they think that Pete Hegseth was going to have a better margin than he did? But let me ask
they
you.
They didn't anticipate McConnell, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I think McConnell was the one they thought would come around, and then he didn't. So let me ask you this real quick, both of you.
He's a rhino. Well, he's a turtle rhino mixture.
Well,
no, he's disgusting, and he needs to be out of Congress. He's as bad as Joe Biden, standing around looking like he doesn't know what's going on. But I think that any of them, it could come down to that. But I think they'll probably all pass. At least I pray they do. They're all going to be good.
Yeah, I think it could be a good thing if Vice President Vance has to get in there and vote on all of them. I mean, it kind of is like it sends a message, you know, because it's
a win's a win.
Yeah.
At that point, the margin matters not as long as you get the win. And I think Trump even said something like that, too, when he found out about Hegseth. He goes, it's still a win. What I don't know is if they go down, like if they don't make the vote, can Trump renominate them later and do a recess appointment? And I don't know about that if they failed in the confirmation process. All I know is this. I looked at some of the selections. I mean, I'll be the first to admit, when I first heard Pete Hegseth, I was like, what? Pete Hegseth, the Fox News guy? And I am all on board. I mean, I have researched him, I have looked into it, and I am good with it. And right now, Kash Patel, listen, man, that guy's holding his own. He's getting hammered today, and he's sitting there calm, cool, and collected. I don't know who gave him, you know, a little something to help him calm his nerves, but that guy's got it going on right now.
Like I said, I think...
Oh, he didn't need it. He's got nerves of steel. When he and Devin Nunes did that investigation together, you don't think he, was threatened? And I mean,
He did. He even said...
I think you can't shake him. I don't think you can shake him.
He even said his family had to move houses because they were being doxxed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it, the more the Dems keep doing this and showing their rear end in these confirmation hearings, I think it's just helping. It's just helping move things in the right direction. I think it's forcing a lot of really good conversations, really kind of across the board.
Yeah.
Going, huh, yeah. Like you just said, a lot of us going, Pete Hegseth, what?
And it worked.
Yeah, I guess we don't have to have a general take over as a Secretary of Defense. Like, yeah, maybe that's...
Somebody doesn't have to come out of the executive suite of the defense industry to do things. All right, we got to take a break. All right, that's the end of round one, Butters and Lee. We'll come right back. This is where we flip the script. They ask me questions. I don't even know what's coming. I wait and see if I can answer off the cuff. Usually I do. Sometimes... Now I do. I'll make it. Well, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, back to round two with Butters and Lee. I'm going to shift the gears over to Lee first. Lee, what is your question for moi?
So, gambling is rearing its head again.
Oh, yeah.
The legislature is getting ready to go back into session, and my concern is that even though Pro Tem Gudger is just basically saying, you know, well, it's not on my radar, I think is what he said, and Ledbetter and the House said it too, but that concerns me because that's just a way to kind of shuffle it off. Last year, so many good bills died on the vine waiting for a vote because of gambling, and if that happens again this year, I'm going to scream, because we need things voted on and done in this state, and this constant obsession with tying everything up is just getting on my nerves. So my question for you is, should they not just put each one of these things up for a vote for the state to choose? You know, just put like the lottery and maybe scratch-offs up for a vote, and then sports betting up for a vote, and then casinos up for a vote, because casinos aren't going to win, and they know that. Okay. People probably would vote for lottery and
So I'm confused. You're saying you don't want gambling to take up time, or you do want gambling to take up time? Because what you just described is five bills.
I'm saying, yeah, either vote a clean bill for them and just vote it, or put it up for the people to vote at election time.
So they won't do that. So for the benefit of all of those people who are streaming online or may not live in Alabama who haven't seen our politics, for decades now, the gambling interests in this state have been corrupting our state politics like nobody's business. I mean, it's been ungodly. I was down there, saw stuff happen that, like, you look at it and go, why is that even even being tolerated for a second. And every single year, it seems like, they bring up a bill to try and expand casino gaming in the state. And I don't care how you feel about casino gaming. That doesn't matter. What matters is these bills never, ever look like what Republicans say we stand for. They always grow government, they raise taxes, and they even give monopolies to people who've been breaking our laws. So it's been a horrible set of circumstances. But every time they do this, the gambling interests and their lobbyists cloud up the legislative process so much that, like Lee just said, good, solid, conservative bills die on the vine because they can't get the floor time because of all the filibusters and everything else related to gambling. So, yes, my sincere hope is we are not going to see it happen. I'm hearing senior leaders in the Alabama legislature saying there's not the votes for it, so we're not going to bring it up. We're late in the quadrennium. They all start running for office again in about 3 months. So my thinking is it really isn't going to happen this year. But Lee, to your, and I'll do it real quick because I got to get to Butter's question too, but they're probably never going to bring a clean bill. Clean bill meaning one thing at a time like you're talking about, because the gambling casino magnates really, really, really want to put it all together because they know that folks might vote for a lottery, and if they can put them in the same bill, they'll get their casino too. And yet, that's also what always kills everything. People who wonder why we don't have a lottery in the state of Alabama, which I'm still not a fan of, it's because the gambling interests kill their own bills every year by overreach. So,
yep.
I could go an hour on that. I saw stuff down in Montgomery that curl your hair on this issue, but. But now I gotta stop curling my hair for a minute and go to Butters. Butters, pray tell, what question? Do you have anything that will inflame my passions like Lee just did?
Possibly.
Okay.
So let's talk about Mayor Woodfin.
Oh my gosh!
In Birmingham.
Holy cow!
Sorry, social media is kind of near and dear to my heart. Not
Liberal
sure if
Mayor
you know
Randall Woodfin.
So he's apparently started blocking a bunch of his constituents on the old interwebs.
Sensitive much?
Yeah, I guess, you try to put your big boy pants on and engage in big boy conversations and make comments about eggs, and everybody starts turning on you. What's up with that? I guess two questions. Should he be doing that?
No.
And two, what is going on with Birmingham? Why can't they fix this?
I don't know. So there's no way I can answer that second question. And by the way, Lee's right. He's on the verge of being in the realm of illegality here because the if it's an official account and he is blocking constituents, then he's in violation of the law because a elected official is not supposed to be able to do that. And there are court rulings that say so. But here's the other thing. Randall Woodfin is not known for having thick skin. He's a prima donna. He's a diva. He likes to be the cool guy. You know, he'll wear his legalized pot T-shirt to city council meetings as the mayor of one of the biggest cities in the Southeast. You know, wears tennis shoes with his suit all the time. He's the bay, and you know, shows dancing videos of him with his paramour on the roofs of Birmingham. And then when people start harping on the fact that we have one of the highest murder per capita rates in the Southeast United States, in the whole United States, he starts blocking people on social media. So I don't know which one of y'all got me more fired up, Lee about gambling or you about Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin. All I know is I love you both. Butters and Lee, thank you for your time. We're going to the third hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.